Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are discussing exit and entry problems into the astral realm. Well, exiting from the body and then entry into the astral realm. Difficulties. So essentially this applies to when we are starting to go to sleep and entering into that realm. But of course, we're taking calls today for on-air readings, and we do have a caller in the queue, so we're going to be getting to that caller shortly. We want to invite our listeners and our callers to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, but more importantly on our Facebook pages, which you may find via our Blog Talk Radio homepage, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. The call-in number is 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, and 562-596-7818. Is the number to call for further conversation. And I'm really dry. It's so dry here where we live. It is just dry outside.
Yeah, a lot of wind.
Horrible. So I'm dried out. Hold on, let's bring on this caller. 630. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's Dion.
Oh, hi. Hey.
I'm just calling to say hi. I'm hanging in there. I'm getting by. Everything's okay. I'm writing my book.
12573? 12573. Oh, 12573. Oh, that was close. Okay. Dionne, D-I-O-N-N-E. Actually, I'd been thinking of you.
What's her birthday?
12573. She's 2810-1. And was thinking of sending you an email, but I hadn't done it yet and just checking in. So give us an update.
So basically what I'm doing is just practicing when I go and writing my book and not trying to continue to fight in the legal arena with my family, because it was just producing poor results for me. And so I have to go with what flows, and I just want to tell my story for the last time. The limitations is still open for that, and maybe, you know, somebody will hear about it through me writing the book. But I feel like I have to, like you told me before, that me moving forward with a partner in my life and wanting a serious relationship, I have to put the negativity behind me. And so this is the decision that I decided to make. Because that's really just a chapter of my past, and I just want to see what the future holds for me with more positive energy than what I was getting trying to pursue something like that. Like, it's not, like, that's just bad karma, and I want it out of my life.
Yeah, that's a positive attitude to have, and I know you're running up against a lot of roadblocks in terms of getting the assistance you needed. I guess where I had a question, and I didn't ask, but now that you're on the air, I will ask. What, there was a professor that was going to help you. It looked very promising. And then suddenly, and you said they told me to wait a little bit to file. And then suddenly they weren't helping. File.
I think that there's a complexity to the case that requires somebody who's like really knowledgeable and skilled. And I feel like I can't, every door shuts on me in the legal arena. It's like day one in the legal arena. But that's just one set of laws. There's universal laws, and then there's the law of the land. And at this point, it's like you have to, in order for me to solve this loss, which is what it is, because I lost every single person in my family. I lost all of my family members all at once. And so for me, I'm suffering a loss. I'm not going to be able to get my gain through the legal system, because at this point in time, nobody wants to take that case on because it has too much red tape associated with it. So what I'm saying is I'm okay with that, and I'm not even going to, like, I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything for me. I'm going to change the reality of my life by bending the energies and transforming it another way and saying, God, you're the one that's actually in charge. And so whatever, you know, you can move mountains. I can't move those mountains. You can move those mountains. So if you want to adjust that energy over there, then that's fine. I'll go back into that arena. But I can't keep trying to bash my head into a wall and force people in the legal system to do the right thing. They hear me. Trust me, they hear me. Because what she told me was to flood the media with my story. That's why I said I'm just going to dedicate my time to writing the book.
Why was she not? I just wonder why she was unwilling. Did she feel like she didn't have the necessary credentials or knowledge to be able to take on your case? Is that why she ultimately didn't take it? Because she had agreed to do, according to our correspondence, she had agreed to take it, but then suddenly it was like not happening.
What it comes down to is basically somebody's time and resources.
Yeah.
I can't ask somebody to dedicate their time, which is a resource of theirs.
Right.
Because I have a
problem. For you, right, and you have to pay for it. I mean, ultimately.
It's costly for everybody.
Unless you're asking them to do it out of the goodness of their heart, which is difficult because it's a time-consuming process. I think the case is difficult. And do you know, Neil, she's the one with the problem with the business, with the family, the
mm-hmm.
family business, and they ended up taking away from her and ousting her and
yeah.
stealing money and anyway, and the crooked attorney and all this stuff with the will and falsifying a will that wasn't really the ill will, yeah. So I'm just bringing you up to speed on
yeah,
it.
I recall.
I mean, I think it's healthier to move forward since you've had so many difficulties getting the results that you want from the judicial system. Maybe something will come. You know, maybe there will be assistance down the road, but rather than be so frustrated trying to, you know, glean results that aren't happening.
Yeah,
I'm just
outnumbered. I'm just completely outnumbered. There's four of them plus legal law firm, and then there's just me. So let them live with the fact that this is what they feel as though is a good relationship as far as maintaining a family. Let them live with all the negative stolen money. That's a vibe. That's a bad vibe. When you steal from somebody, that's not a way to – it's a way to acquire something, but in a negative connotation. So let them live with all that negativity and all of that dirty money. I'm not even going to participate in their games. I can make my own money.
I mean, that's a healthier attitude. Not that it was wrong for you to want to have justice, because it wasn't. But if you're spending more time trying to get justice and you're beating your head into a wall and you're ending up hurting yourself more than just, you know, going on existing and, you know, moving forward, sometimes you just have to let go and move on. Sometimes you do. So apparently,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just terminating that. Like, I'm calling time of death on that patient because I'm getting older, and every minute of my day that I'm spending on something like that, it's fruitless.
Do you feel better now that you made that decision? Do you feel better?
Yes. Absolutely. And the reason why I feel better now is because I finally realized that I'm not, I was suffering a loss of a family. For me, it was like the whole, I'm a man on an island, you know? And so like I'm a survivor. So now it's time for me to be a thriver.
Yeah.
And it's getting away from all of that isn't going to hold me back. You told me, you said, and you had a valid point. So you did help me because you said, look, how do you expect to have a partner if you can't move past, like, this is a huge blockage in your life. And you were right. And so I decided to do my filing cabinet, which is writing my book and just telling my story for the last time and be done with it and move on.
Because
I can focus my energies on a positive relationship if I'm so lucky to be blessed one. Like, I want to do it the right way. I don't want to, you know, ask for a partner and then not be able to nurture that relationship and be loving and kind because I'm still stuck out of the past. Right?
Yeah. I think that's so, I mean, you sound so much better than you did a couple months ago. So that's really promising. So in the relationship arena, what has anything transpired? I know there was someone that you were interested in specifically, and that was around Valentine's Day. We were talking about that. Has that moved forward at all?
No. And the reason why is because that person was honest with me, and that person told me that they are not looking for commitment or not at that time.
You don't
and
want that.
So basically, that was an easy decision to call, like, that one out, too, because it's like, I am not interested in friends with benefits. So that hasn't, unless that person changes what they desire out of a relationship, then I just decided to move on from that also.
Okay, so are there any I'm imagining, is that what you're calling to ask about today, is relationships? I mean, you're saying hi, but probably you want to maybe get some.
Yeah, because with all of that, I've freed myself up and I've been getting out again and making connections. So I just wanted to see, like, a spiritual checkup, like, how am I doing? I'm putting myself out there.
Well, that, I mean, I would say spiritual checkup-wise, you're getting an A moving forward. I mean, definitely. Neil, you probably, let's let Neil talk a little bit here.
Well, you know, it's been said that everyone has a book inside of them, and I'm a firm believer in writing books. And if, you know, you can't get through the legal system as such, writing your book can have all kinds of consequences for you that might be in your favor. But here's the thing. If you're going to write this book, you want it to also appeal to others that can relate to your situation. So you might want to join a writer's group and just not, like, sit home and write, but get conference from other writers. I mean, you can even meet a relationship in there. Because you have a strong five in your day, so karmically speaking, you came back. That's the communication chakra. You came back to probably write this book.
Yeah, I don't know if she believes in this in reincarnation.
Well,
or the fact
it
that
doesn't matter.
You know, I'm just.
It doesn't matter.
I understand what he's saying.
So if you are trying to create some kind of conclusion to your life, and you want to get this out, you want to put it in a written form, and you want it to basically not only be something you can get out of your system, but something that can touch others, then I would advise you again to write, to join a writer's group and to get some initial feedback and to formulate that group. And, you know, there are writer's groups in specific themes. They can be romance writers. There are writers who are congregating because of situations like yours, and they're writing their story life. So I would either you do it in person or you do it online, but you find a group of people that are in the same area of writing as you. Maybe it's crime fiction. I don't know, but this is for real. But you get the idea. And that's where I would go with that. I would also probably take advantage of anyone that wants to give you feedback. You know, you might form other relationships. Now, from this can grow a wider audience in which you pique the interest of somebody who wants to talk about your case. And if you popularize it as legal problems within the family structure, I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to you who have had harsh experiences with families and money and real estate and whatnot. So you might be able to reach a chord there, and that's what I'm thinking. And from that, you might even find a relationship. But that's where you've got to go first, Dion. And that would be my suggestion.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will do that.
Yeah. Find it. What state do you live in?
She's in Illinois.
Oh, well, Illinois. You know, Lincoln was a lawyer. He was originally a lawyer. He probably would have taken on your case.
It's the land of Lincoln.
Huh?
It's the land of Lincoln.
I know.
Said, yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If you were in his early days, you know, he was a lawyer. That's how he started, basically. And he represented the rights of people. And so, you know, you're in a good state in that context. But I'm sure there's writers groups. Go to your library, too. There's lots of initially you can go to the local library and find writers groups there. You can go online. There's so many things you can do, Dion. And if you spend your life doing this now, you're giving your life worth. You're confronting a problem, not really running away from it.
Not that she was running away before, but this is going to be constructive.
What I mean is you're not just saying, well, bygones be bygones, I'll move on, it's dirty money, I'm going to move on with your life. This is a way of moving on and still being poignant. Constructive about your particular dilemma, and you'll see it's going to help. And the mechanics of writing a book, what's good about it is you don't have to go, you just sit down and you've got, you know, your time frame that you work out. You just need discipline and it can be done.
Okay, I'll practice discipline with it too.
Good.
Yeah, you have to be disciplined when writing a book. Because if you're not, then you won't get anything done.
I know. It's still like the releasing of the emotions, though, because like I'm going through it and it's like I really want to just, like it's almost like squeezing like a water out of a wet rag, you know?
Okay,
and it's like I feel like every time I put it down on paper, it's finally like it's all coming out,
right.
All of the emotions.
And you're releasing
like
it.
And I want it to be done.
Let me
yeah.
give you a suggestion. Your opening paragraph should be describe your emotional state and describe why you are feeling the way you're feeling now. Just describe your emotional state. The second paragraph now goes back and reproduces the history of your problem. So start off the first paragraph, you're very emotional, you're distraught, and then like in flashback, go back and start describing to your audience why you're feeling this. And you can go back as far as you want, as far as you can trace your problems in life until you reach this point. So you engross your audience in the first paragraph. They're going, oh, my God, this woman's in distress. She wants to die, blah, 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 blah. And then you go back and flashback and slowly discover for the reader how you got here. Okay, try that approach.
Okay.
One last thing about getting, you know, getting pulled back into an emotional state. I mean, there's people think I sometimes think that people perceive that when you move on from something that you're no longer emotionally attached. I mean, and that's true. There's not. You're able to detach emotionally, but it doesn't mean that there's no emotional charge or a feeling associated with what you've gone through, or that you can't be angry, but you can be angry with detachment. So that's another important thing, I think, to remember as you're writing the book, is that you can be disgusted with what's occurred. You can be angry at your family, but you can still be forgiving towards them at the same time. You know, you don't have to let the anger eat you up. That's being detached, but recognizing your feelings is not wrong.
That was valuable. Thank you so much.
Okay, Dion, we'll keep us posted, and hopefully next time you call us, it will be about someone new in your life.
Okay, thank you.
The writers group that she joins. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. We have Amy. Hi.
Hello.
Amy. How's it going?
I just called in. I didn't expect to be on the test.
Yeah, we don't have a huge lineup at this point, so you were second in line.
Oh, okay.
So cool. You, here you are, 12:29:69. She's a 39:12:3. Okay. What's going on? I feel like I'm like dry voice.
So I had a studio for my business that I moved out of the very end of November. And then, I guess long story short, I have a couple of opportunities coming up now. And I don't think I can make a wrong decision, but I want to make a good decision. So it's not really, it's not super pressing. It's not bothering me, but I guess it's just kind of a light, like, oh, I wonder if I should go north or south or west. I can't go east because there's little lakes there.
So you're thinking of moving, would you?
Well, getting a studio.
She's our acupuncture.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get a studio. I don't have one at the moment.
A studio to practice, not a home. You have a home, but it's a business office. A business office that you're looking for. And so you're wondering where to look, but you're not going to go too far from your location.
I guess that's probably, that's the one restriction or whatever that I seem to have mentally. And maybe that's a question too, because I've thought about moving 2 hours away, where it's more popular, or whatever. And that's not a bad idea, but lots of ideas right now, and I'm kind of excited about that. But I don't want to get high in the sky and, you know, get all excited that I have so many opportunities and not be paying attention to details or something.
So,
well, you have to, you know, study the logistics. You have to get a grasp of what's needed in your community. People are open.
What state are you in again? It's like East Coast, Pennsylvania or something.
Nope, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Why do I always think but Wisconsin is kind of like on the border of the East Coast, right? I mean, do you consider yourself East Coast or Central? I'm sorry?
I'm on what?
What would you feel like? Do people in Wisconsin feel that they're on the East Coast? Do you feel like you're in the middle of the state?
It's weird. I think it's usually considered the Midwest.
Yeah, that's what I think of Wisconsin as. But.
Yeah, but then people from like Missouri say, you're not the Midwest. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Go on, Neil.
Well, Amy, I mean, you have to decide where the community is that's going to take advantage of your services and do a study about that. And then, you know, maybe affiliate yourself with other hospitals or doctors, you know, your license. So it is a medicine that requires a license. You're doing a practice. And, I would agree that you shouldn't be doing it in your home. That doesn't sound very, very professional.
Was it, wasn't, Didn't you have an affiliation with a physician? Weren't you working out of a doctor's office at one point?
No.
Or you were sharing it. It was a sharing a space. I'm remembering.
Yeah, it was a sharing a studio. And
that's what
I think I want to shy away from
sharing.
Maybe shy away from the yogas and the yoga and the spas and stuff, because it just tends to be, I don't know. Then, you know, I feel like I don't get the respect, or
yeah,
I don't know. I forget what my role is. When
you
want to
have
relaxing.
A more medical approach to, rather than being like, you
no.
know, with in a wellness center, which can
a
less credentials can
okay,
be involved in that kind
like
of.
Like a yoga, when you go for like, I think a wellness center could be okay. Where there are several practitioners that are similar levels of fees. So even
mm-hmm.
massage therapy would be okay. But I think if you go to, if I go, like I was in the yoga studio, you know, it's the same as a private yoga session, but not a lot of people book those at the one I was at. So, you know, when you're paying $11 or $15 an hour for a yoga class, and then acupuncture is $70.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not. People are, like, spending less money.
Yeah, you want people that are in the same mindset.
Is there a way, I mean, do you want your own studio? Or would you be interested
in... I do want my own studio, and I think my deal is it's taking such a risk, like financial risk, and that's probably it. That's where I get stuck. I get so uncomfortable with it because of my past.
Amy, you're 59.
Yep.
Here's what you're 59 years old.
No, she's
49.
Not.
49.
God.
Oh, 49. Okay, so you're 49
God.
Years old. I miscalculated. But my point wasn't so much the age. Well, 49, 59, it's still within a cycle of getting up there.
She's actually within a cycle, or it's her second year of her.
Yeah, I was talking about your cycle. What you need to do, in my estimation, is find a center or a community where people are in pain, and they're
mm-hmm.
and they have exhausted their all of their options about how to reduce pain. You need to find either a close proximity to a pain center,
pain management center,
a pain
oh,
management.
Cool.
But you need to go. You need to follow where there's pain, not just well-being.
Okay.
You know, I tap this and I'm going to feel better about life. You need to find people who are desperate and in pain. So go to the areas where and start advertising that how acupuncture can relieve pain. And whether you go to their home with your kit and your table, or you have an office, or you do it out of your home.
Or rent a space in the pain center.
Rent a space. Yeah, you've got to go where there's pain. That's what I suggest you do. And psychically, in 7 or 8 months, you would be calling us up and saying, this is working. I'm making a living, and thank you, this worked. That's what that's what the best prediction would be. Prediction.
I drove by a medical clinic that it says, you know, like, whatever, clinic space release. And I know there's a physical therapy office in there. I don't know what else, but I was kind of curious about that one too.
Yeah, talk to, you know, the office manager or the doctors that run the office and see if there's a need for your services there. Or if you want to rent your own space, see if they will give you referrals. I mean, you know, offer to give them complimentary treatment in order for them to get to know your work and how you operate.
Yeah. You're the alternative to medication. So you want to give doctors an option, whatever. So go put your nose to the pain management centers and where there's pain, people who are in pain. Go to anywhere where there's physical therapy, anything like that, Amy. And I think that's going to get you out of your rut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing like
okay, but I'm just staying above the black now.
Okay.
Well,
so
I don't want that.
You can get your office right now. Just hit the street. Just try to do it. Use a doctor's office. Use a pain management center. Go to their home if that's possible. You know, get proper insurance, and then
I
ultimately
have
an office. You can rent it.
I have all the insurance. So I, what
is it difficult? Is it difficult to maintain the standards like sterility and things like that, moving from home to home? I imagine that might be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, I guess it could be. You create a clean field, you know, and you wipe down an area or bring your own little table, wipe it down again, and then lay out a
Amy,
paper
a lot
towel.
Of people,
whatever.
Amy, a lot of people in pain don't want to travel. If you can come to their home and make house calls, you're already ahead of the game. Oh, you come to the home, I don't have to get out of bed. You know, and the cost of gas and time is reduced. You take that and say, well, I'm not paying for an office. So
there you go.
You know, the traveling acupuncturist, you know.
Yep. That is more me, because I worked at a community clinic, and I think it wasn't personal enough for me. I enjoy the connection a little bit more. So the one-on-one is probably better for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely, I guess if you're going into people's homes, there's going to be more of a personal connection because you're in their space and they're inviting you into it. And so you might
get a disclaimer
of that aspect.
Get a disclaimer and make sure you have proper insurance, and so nobody can sue you, and make them sign a disclaimer that they didn't, you know, they're not going to accuse you. You did something improper.
Right.
There's all kinds of insurance things you need to figure out that regard.
That's the only problem.
Different
you just don't enter somebody's home.
Doing your own facility. But anyway, there's a number of options. So let us know how things pan out.
Yep, it sounds like fun. I feel a lot better than I've felt in the past calling you guys, so this is good.
Yeah, it's good. And did you go to the doctor with the heart doctor? I can't remember. Did you tell us?
Yeah, the aneurysm has not grown
in your heart.
It's still 4.3. Yeah, the last time they looked at it was 2015, and it's still 4.3.
Okay.
So they're not concerned, because normally it would grow, and it can at any point, but because it's from 2013 to 2015, the records say it was 4.2 and then it was 4.3. They assumed it would just be a little bit more, and it wasn't, so...
So it could have been what you were experiencing in the winter was probably just a severe upper respiratory infection or virus.
I think it was the upper respiratory combined with like anxiety or panic.
Yeah, stress.
I didn't realize. I mean, people were telling me that, and I was like, what are you talking about? Because I've never experienced that. But the whole feeling of the elephant on your chest, then I had a situation that was stressful. And I could identify that as I'm anxious about this. And then it felt like I couldn't breathe and felt like an elephant on my chest. And I was like, oh, like a bell rang, a light went on. I was like, okay, so I need to remember to keep my stress down.
Yeah.
Well, you needle to worry no longer.
Needle to worry no longer. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Needle your worries away. You know, come up with a phrase or something. People like those catchy things.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, Jewel. How are you?
We're doing fine. Squenthalum. 626.
It is.
And they are born the same year, interestingly enough, and the same master number as Amy and Gwendolyn. 6 months apart.
The year of Woodstock.
Yeah. That's it.
The year of Woodstock.
What's going on?
Hey, actually, you know what? I've been making movement on the ME train. I made a decision after I was told about driving. So I went last week and obtained 50% of the testing I needed for a CDL test. I'm going back this week to finish off the last two parts, which is a passenger and an air brake. So I'm pretty much headed that way, and I felt pulled to do it. So
what, commercial driving?
Yes. Yeah, because I'll tell you what, as I was driving around, I'm like, you know what, this is what I enjoy doing. I wasn't big on going back into the pantyhose. Then I'm like pulling away from so many things. I needed to sit and still. And
pulling away.
I felt the pull.
No pun intended. Driving, pulling away on the curb. Haha. Okay, so what kind of driving would this be? I don't think you need to see.
Well, I'm going for it. I'm taking the passenger. I already passed the school bus. And I need to do air brakes for either anyway. So that is what I'm doing right now. So I'm thinking of at least going into driving buses, because there are ones that train, you know, start with anywhere from 18 to 20. And I won't have to be confined all the time, which is a big thing for me. So that allows me a little bit of freedom while still maintaining a decent pay in doing something that I enjoy doing anyway. So I just upped and said, okay, here it goes. I went. I said, I'm taking a crack at this test. I walked in. I passed two. I said, okay, I'll see you next week for the other two. Studied them over the past weekend. I'm ready to take that test again Friday. Obtained the permit. My landlord, her boyfriend has an asphalt business, so she'll be helping me get to the driving test by practicing in their dump truck. And then in the meantime, I'll be looking at a couple bus places that will hire you while you're obtaining that driver's license. They'll help train you and then work for them. So I'm going to be looking into those areas. And so I'm just saying, if there's a feeling about that, and apparently right after I spoke to both of you last time, the 127, right back where we are, moving things along yet again. I had to go in that area for something, so of course we connect back again. So whatever that connection is, I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, you mean the birth date of the person that you asked about last time?
Yeah, I let that go, but I'm back to the other one. Like, we're pulled back together yet again. Yep, we're pulled back together. No sooner did I say that to you guys, I'm like, here we go. Pulled right back into it. And not unwillingly either, but cautiously.
Okay.
Because I'm getting ready to go to court. So that's big. This court is getting ready. We're getting ready to go back to court again also. So I'm anticipating, I'm hoping, and there should be, a good win in the next couple of weeks to finalize and resolve a lot of that.
All right. So what's going on with the court? What is exactly being decided with court? Because I don't know.
What these restrictions that they have me under for the time being, the visitation was done with a woman who was overseeing us. Then they're able to go into the alienation and find out what the heck is really going on here. And that is coming to complete end today. I'll go see Ethan again today, and the judge will be contacted. This woman gives her report, and it's only going to back up the rest of the case.
Because the thing is, we have bits and pieces, Gwendolyn, where we're not getting, I mean, we don't, obviously, you know, you're calling on a radio show, so we're getting just little pieces of information. So bringing us up to speed, I remember that they were requiring, they were trying to require a supervised visits, and you were very opposed to that. But then.
Right.
Then they awarded, according to what my understanding was, they awarded custody, shared custody between you and your ex. But then that got stopped. And then suddenly now there's this visitation. So I don't think we were aware that you were doing supervised visits because you were opposed to it. And I thought then that they awarded custody and so on and so forth. So you've been doing supervised visitation?
Yes, after everything went back and they told that lie, the judge pulled back
my lawyer said he is alienating her from her child. So the judge said, now we're going to take this and we're going to do this my way. I said, at that point, okay, fine. I was opposed to it because I find it ridiculous. However, if this puts it to rest for its final bed, so do it, because I have nothing to hide and I'm only going to prove what I've been telling everybody all along, which has been proven already anyway. So,
Which, yes, I did do that.
So
smart to cooperate with the courts if the courts are asking for something. And I mean, as ridiculous as it may feel to you, or, you know, whatever, if you're cooperating with the courts, that puts you in a way better light.
Right. And I really was only opposed to it because no one was doing anything about anything that was being done on the other end. So the more I accomplish while I'm still doing me and I'm have these times with my son that no one can interfere with, we take it back to the judge. He gets a picture from someone totally outside from an unbiased position in any type of way, and we get the real truth. So, it didn't hurt me. I was opposed to it because it's ridiculous. However, follow the process, and I did that part. Mr. Perry has still to this day is in contempt of everything that judge has told him to do up until this point. So we are taking this back, and he can explain why he doesn't do anything he's supposed to, and I've done everything.
Uh-huh.
That's what my lawyer is preparing. In the meantime, when he was supposed to pay the money for the funds to come out of his account, he didn't do that. So fine, I busted my rear end, I made it happen. So that's happening with or without him, and I'll recover the monies I paid to get my money. Fine by me. In the meantime, do the me train, get on this CDL license, have a way to go out there and make a decent buck when I'm back in the full-time workforce doing something where no one else bothers me. I'm in control. Stay focused. Keep the responsibility of the road under me and do my job. And that's what I want to do. And then after that, I want to come home and do what I want to do. That's how I see it. And I had a child. So it puts me in a better position financially. And right now, I'm already halfway through that test, and all I did was take one practice test. I didn't pass it, but I said, oh, what the heck, and I went and I passed two parts. I never saw it before in my life, and now I have the other two under my belt. So I know I'm headed there. I don't think that's stopping, but if there's any flags I'm missing or signposts that I'm missing or I need to look out for in any scenario, because, again, I'm moving everything up one at a time, but they're all moving, then I really want to be aware that if I'm missing something. I don't feel that I am, but that's possible.
Okay, so specifically, what do you want to focus on? Do you want to focus on the job?
I really want to focus on this court case first and foremost, and then where I'm going job-wise. The rest will take care of itself as far as I'm concerned, but they're my two main concerns. My child first.
Well, it sounds like you've got your foot in the door with getting your commercial license. I mean, personally, I can never imagine driving or wanting to drive an asphalt truck. I would not be cut out for that job. So, I mean, the fact that you have that desire and you think that you can do it and you feel confident that you can, you know, I mean, I think that's good, and you've already passed two sections, right?
Yes, I already did. I just said, oh, screw it, I'm going to do it. I went up there, took two tests, used common sense, put it in with the little know-how and some knowledge that I already know of equals and whatnot, applied it and passed two parts. So I was happy as heck. You know, I got 50% done.
Maybe,
and it'll take me.
You know, I was thinking, Gwendolyn, maybe you can get a job with the mafia.
What?
Yeah, they would probably hire me, too. They know.
I'm sorry, that went over my head. I took the effect.
You know, and I'm sure they pay well, so.
Yeah, she's
sure they do.
She's like, aren't you in, New Jersey or something?
Yes, I am. South Philly is just a cheesesteak away.
And they'll take care of your business
world.
In court. They'll just say, forget about it. We'll take care of it.
I love the concept, but I have to be good, Neil. I'm trying to get out of this lifetime on a good foot.
No,
no more punishment for me. I know. He's funny. It's a cheesesteak. It's a guaranteed cheesesteak. That is, enticing. I get it.
Well, it sounds, you know, you're making progressive steps, Gwendolyn. You're a fighter. You don't give up. You have an optimistic energy field. That's good. The cooperation theme is good because you have to give a little,
And maybe, and like Debbie Reynolds says, you know, sometimes the second time around is the key. So maybe with your boyfriend, the second time around, there's a song, the second time around, and a movie. But aside from all that, you have a progressive, positive attitude. This is good. And you're moving forward with all, you know, whatever karma you came down with, you're cutting through it. And you're getting to a place where you're going to, I believe, you're going to be experiencing pleasure with your family and your kids.
Yeah, and this
and
was,
have your job.
After the court date is decided, or the court date will decide whether you have partial custody, correct? You're going to be able to take them.
Right, so that the visitation nonsense is done. I just go get my child as I would anything else. And then we propel to seek return of custody to me come June when he's done school, my other son graduates. I want to move Ethan and I on. He's not staying there. That won't happen unless, you know, God comes down here and tells me, okay, this is what I want for him. But he hasn't done that, so that won't be happening.
Okay. Well, things are progressive, like Neil said. What's the year of your boyfriend's birth again? I don't have it handy.
He's 68. He's 61. 68. Yeah.
And 20. And why is you? And 34/7.
127.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 34/7. And why did you break up?
You know what? I don't even know that it was like a breakup. I was just like, okay, let it go. I understand where his challenges are as far as commitment and the history of his relationships. And there, it was not in balance. It was me doing more of the work. And no, we can't have it that way. I had to pull back because I've made those mistakes before. I'm a doer, as we all know, and my heart sometimes reads too much. I needed to come back to the logical side, balance things out, and make it clear that I'm not looking to walk down the aisle in a white dress because my mommy and daddy are not coming back. I already did that. Independent living while maintaining a solid relationship, it may be not, you know, unheard of in a lot of people, but there are many of us who prefer that, to retain my independence, to keep going. To enjoy a relationship, but handle my personal life, my business, and my children all well in balance. And when
I would suggest, maybe Neil has something different to say. I would suggest that if you're having problems with someone in a commitment, getting him to commit, or you're feeling like you're doing more of the work, I would put the brakes on the relationship.
Right, and
then,
that's what I did.
With caution. We're in the metaphor of driving automobiles here. I would proceed with caution with him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, because I'm not looking for more than that. I needed to express that to him. And when I had his undivided attention, I let him know. Stop thinking there has to be wedding bells at the end of everything. There doesn't. We can just be a couple, but maintain our independent lives. We don't need to move in with each other next year. That's not where we go. That's not where every relationship has to go. I don't have to feel like I'm investing in someone because we're going to have wedding bells. I either adore you, I want to spend time with you, we have a reciprocal relationship that's in balance, or we don't. But this thought for him of always, oh my God, married, married. Stop it. And I think he scared himself.
Real quick, Gwendolyn, before we move on to the next caller, which we have to do like momentarily because we only have got about 6 minutes left. What does he do? What is his occupation?
He works for a public utility for the island. He's been doing that a little over 20 years. So that's what he does.
What kind of work? Like outside?
Water department. Yeah.
Water department.
Mm-hmm, water department.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
all right, awesome. Hey, guys, thank you. As long as I didn't get warnings today, I'm good to go. I appreciate your time and your help. Thank you.
Okay, take care, Gwendolyn.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. I mean, I don't know if you had any additional advice for her. Okay. So we're going to bring on Jackie. Hi.
Hi, Christian.
How's it going?
Hey, I work. I live in New Jersey, and I work for the mob, but they're not paying me yet.
All right. Well, you know, we'll hook you two up.
Oh my God, you got to laugh.
1565. So what's going on? We've got a few minutes here.
No, the energy is shifting. I got some things that I want to do. I'm just trying to move some things off my plate. Just want to see what's going on from your standpoint.
Well, what? Anything change that you want to share with us quickly?
Yeah.
Run out of time.
Yeah. How much I'm going to have to pay for taxes and how much I'm going to have to pay my attorney, I think is doable. And I just want to move forward.
Okay, anything going on with your job?
Oh, it's crazy. It's chaotic. It's nuts, and it's really pushing me to the point where I do want to go on and do my independent stuff. But I told you before I wanted to take care of my my own personal stuff first before I made any move at work.
Well, yeah, and you have to finish the school year, obviously.
Yes, yes.
Can't like just quit.
Yeah, what's left of it.
I mean, you could, but
it is chaotic. It is. It's a lot of budget concern. A lot of it's just not a happy place to be right now.
Well, once you've done your taxes and the school year is over, this is a good time for you to start to make some new put out some new things that you've never done before. Maybe you can include things that you have to still continue with, but you need to do maybe three new things that you should put out for this coming year coming up. I mean, you're going to be it's a ways here. It's about 8 months before you turn your next birthday through. But
but she just started it. You know, started.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Neil. I do agree. I feel it.
You know, there's something, they say, there's an image I get around you, and the image is a shark. And they say that sharks cannot stay still or they drown. They have to keep moving. That's the one fish that can't be just sit there. So can you imagine? But I'm getting this image of sharks around you. So the idea right now is to keep moving forward.
Maybe it's her student.
Yeah. I work with ones. They keep changing. They keep. No, it's true. It is true. It is true.
The only thing that I see as a problem for Jackie is that if you want to get out of teaching at the school that you're employed at next year, you've got to start making now. I mean, you've got to start looking, which I think we've talked about on episodes. You have to start looking now or you're going to end up teaching another year at that school.
No, I'm trying not to.
How are you going to find work that quickly? I mean, you're right now, you're full-time, you're employed full-time. And you've got the summer. She just turned 54.
Yeah,
she's at the job line. Yeah, she needs to do it now.
You're in a major cycle right now, 9 times 6.
Right, in the doubling of her karmic number 2, which we've talked about so many times. So
major change.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it now.
Make commitments to your changes, and make sure that you measure and write down the progress you make every month. Your month.
Okay.
Progress you've made, write it down. You know, you're a mathematician, so you want to add up all the positives you do every month that lead towards your final factoring in of numbers. You want to reach a sum of your energy. So translate mathematics to action to accomplishment, and measure it that way.
Okay.
And call us when you've implemented the advice into action and let us know
how it's going. I think it would definitely have to be while I'm on break. because I really, personally, I can't get anything done while I'm here. Cause this
well,
is
that's
like,
what I said. You're full-time, but the thing is, because you're employed full-time, but you can start looking. I mean, you can start looking.
Okay.
And you should see what's out there and what you're qualified for, you know, before the summer, because once the summer is going to be gone very quickly, and you're going to be...
Yeah, I'm not waiting for that. I'm not.
So start looking now. Start looking.
I would be emotionally disturbed by the time I'm done with all of this. No.
Yeah.
I can't. But besides that, I'm just going with the flow.
Go with the flow. Well, that's a good thing to do.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Well, you caught us at the tail end, and we were kind of packed with callers today. We didn't even
get... I always do, because this is the only time that I really get a break. But I appreciate it anyway.
Okay. Well, have a good rest of your day, Jackie.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
All right.
We're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Bye-bye.